settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Avery, and welcome to our 100th edition of Spirits Work Show. And this is the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. This week, we'll be discussing part three of past life regression. And if you'd like to join us, the phone lines are open. And the number to call in the U.S. is 877-876-5227, Canada, 888-810-8322. And if there's anybody on an international basis who'd like to phone in, it's 001-530-876-3222. I can't believe this is our 100th show, can you?
No,
I mean,
no. It seems like just yesterday when we first spoke to Don and Doug, I think, and
I know,
yeah.
Incredible. And that is not including, you know, the repeats, reruns or anything like that.
No, it's a 100th clear show.
Yes, amazing.
On almost as many subjects, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirits Work, here on the wonderful bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST. We also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, have a, what's the other things that we do as well?
We offer geophysical stress surveys where the spirit team, White Cloud Group, will come and visit your property to see if your property has got any negative ley lines on it or, in fact, positive ley lines on it. We do animal diagnosis. If you've got something wrong with your pet and you've come to the end of your tether as far as vets go and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I understand that thing with pets is any pet, isn't it? It doesn't matter what species it is.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Horses are a speciality as well.
Yeah, do a lot of work with horses.
And also, we do, if you think that you have any negative spirits in your property, any paranormal experiences that you would like us to find out about, the Ghostbusters, Gregory will go in with the White Cloud team and survey your property for you and then tell you all about what they find.
Yeah.
So everything like that.
Kind of straight from the horse's mouth, really.
Well, absolutely.
Ghost mouth.
Yes, so it doesn't matter where you are, anywhere on the planet, Gregory and the team can come and visit you and give you a diagnosis on any of these things. And like I say, the Akashic reading is very special from Gregory as well.
Yeah, yeah. And you can find all about that and read all about it on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. So, I am a deep trance medium, which is actually quite a rare thing for a true deep trance, full-body trance medium. And as usual, I'm going to be channeling our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay, who will be taking center stage for the show, or center microphone as this case is. I've been working in this way with Gregory for lots of years now, and Spirit Guide Gregory will borrow my body so he can speak to you, and because it is deep trance, I won't be aware of anything that happened. So you're not having anything from my brain, nothing from my memory or anything like that. It's all to do with him. And because of this, this is the fact of deep trance, really, is that it means that I'm actually somewhere else completely. I'm not even in the room. And because the spirit guide takes over the whole physical state. So anyway, if you've got any questions relating to our subject of discussion, which is past life regression, part three, please do put them to Gregory. You can phone up on the numbers Sylvie's already given you. And I'm going to hand you back to my lovely, darling wife now. And you have a great show, and I'm going to go to sleep. Goodbye.
Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. They consist of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people who have a valuable input to make. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. It's a huge event in the spirit world when we do this kind of communication. It's not only us on Earth who will be listening, but also thousands of spirit beings in the spirit world who are also listening and watching the experts in the team working in this way. There are those who have had a physical life on Earth, and also those who would like to in the future, which is why, as the mediums for the group, our aim is to offer positive input into exactly why we are here and how we can, well, with a concerted effort from everybody, restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. So as we said, if you want to know more about us, our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. And if you have an idea for a show topic that you'd like us to cover, please do get in touch. You can find our email numbers on the website, but I will tell you it now. It's enq@spirit-teaching.com. And we will see what we can do about that. And don't forget the numbers to call again if you want to phone in and ask Spirit Gregory a question. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-810-8322. And international, 001-530-876-3222. Okay. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light, dear friend.
Thank you. Fancy the 100 shows.
Yes.
Amazing, isn't it? Seems like yesterday.
It was, wasn't it? I do not know, really. One day is just like any other, because we do not really experience days in the same way that you do.
Mm.
Time, after all, is not of an essence, is not of a situation that we measure particularly. We actually have a situation where we constantly record the form of time that exists on the Earth plane.
Mm-hmm.
So that we are able to gauge and decipher whereabouts you are in the realm of physical state, mm-hmm. of the increments of time, days of the week, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it is, of course, that beings on our side of life are able to assimilate situations such as this, keep appointments with certain other individuals, whatever it is we have to do in order to continue our communication process.
Okay, well, I think we'd like to go into greater depth into that subject, actually, sometime.
Oh, yes.
That would
very
be good,
well.
I think.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Quite
so,
yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, today, part three of our series on past life regression and the situations that it can be the result of why we think that we have been here before.
Yes, quite so.
So the first week we did the fact that about the recounting and the fact that we know so many people in the spirit world intimately and so closely that we can take that on board.
Yes.
And think that it's our life when it was their life.
Yes, because it becomes such a personal memory.
Mm. Last week it was the fact that you could have been a doorkeeper or a guardian angel, as it were, or a helper in before you had your Earth life, and that is what you're remembering. Somebody else is the person that you were a doorkeeper for. You are remembering something that they did in their life.
Yes, quite so.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
So this week?
And this week, my friend, I understand we're going to talk about cellular structure and cellular memory,
mm-hmm.
of a human being. So this means, of course, that the situation of what is your memory? What is it that you are experiencing at this very moment? Yes, you are listening to the sound of my voice. You are listening to the sound of little bird's voice. and the things she has to say. So you are bringing this into your mind memory. But what of the things, the occasions that you've experienced of other people's, seemingly other people's memory or previous experiences that appear to be so personal to you? The reason why they are so personal is because they are actually a part of your memory. Not you as little bird, and not you as whoever your name is at this present time, but seeming as though you could have been, as though you are experiencing even the forms and sensations and feelings of you being a different gender to the one you are presently exhibiting. Because that, of course, is your physical body now. But for some people, they may even have these interludes, not necessarily during the sleep type state or meditation or something like that, but actually could have flashback memories during their waking life, during their conscious evolutionary state, and actually have experiences of brief glimpses of previous life patterns, seemingly becoming obvious to them, illuminated in total depth of color and appreciation of movement, of sensing and sound, of experience, as though you are looking at it from another person's point of view, but also from your own, because you are looking at it through their eyes. And this, in fact, is a part of the experience known as cellular memory or ancestral recall. And it is most important that you understand where this actually comes from. The whole point of the join-up of your cellular memory with who you are at this present time is brought through the cellular memory from your parents, grandparents, from all of those people who have had a semblance or a part of your actual physical makeup. Do not forget, dear friends, that every single one of you is a mutation of one another. Some of the mutations have done very well, have perhaps come out with good looks or whatever body type it is that you have. Others, perhaps, you may feel as though you have not fared so well, but deep within you are the cellular memories of each other. That is my point of making this comparison. And it is a very real thing. This isn't something which is just distant. Sometimes people can get, in physical life, a sense and a feeling of being completely someone else. And this, as I say, can happen just for a few moments, or can be minutes, or even a period of time. It may be something which actually illuminates in your life when you perhaps begin meditating, or when perhaps you experience illuminations at times when you are overly excited or experience great depths of love or something like that. It is usually brought on by an emotional trigger which encapsulates the forms of different pheromonic activity which enliven your cellular memory to have recall form experiences of previous past life engagements. As I say, this is not, figuratively speaking, your actual journey, but a part of your journey because you are all a part of one another. Just like the many billions and trillions of beings in our side of life, waiting to have a physical experience. The trillions of beings who have already had part of an experience, either as perhaps being some form of physical life or actually pertaining to a part journey of that physical life in that they have been a doorkeeper, as we have explained before, or a helper or something like that. So all of this is a part of your memory recall. And for you, perhaps, you may feel, well, know that this isn't what I'm experiencing because I've been told that it's reincarnation. Because I've been told that it is my past life experience. Well, my point is, really, that that is just a supposition. It isn't a fact. And the fact is that there are five or even six different forms and ways that you can have cellular memory or other memory, alternate memory recall from either the soul group in which you live or other aspects of your life. So you may actually have these situations around about you. You can have these situations and it can actually be as though you are experiencing deep sensations within your physical body state. Very deep sensations that allow you to feel as though they are your own experiences. Perhaps even of walking down a certain street in a certain city you've never ever seen before. These could be experiences perhaps coming from a situation to do with another family who live in another valley or even another country. Perhaps in a completely different time field to the one that you live in at present. Maybe something from the 18th century, like myself. Or maybe someone from a great deal far distant from that. It doesn't mean to say that by having these situations come upon you, that it makes you any less of a being, or that these situations are there to show you that there is a need or something lacking in your character. Actually, my friends, what it really means to say is that you are illuminating a part of your illustrious pathway through the ancestral memory and DNA of that memory. As I say, as a species, human beings are all joined together in some aspects, even though that may be thousands and thousands of years ago. You still all have a part to play within the shared memory state of understanding what it is that you are revealing at this moment in time. So we perhaps need to look at whether any of these states of memory are actually going to help you in your physical life currently. And I do feel, really, that this is perhaps something which may upset some human beings, some people's feelings. Perhaps because they feel that they are pressured from some previous life experience. Like, for example, they may be perhaps experiencing some negative feelings around the throat or neck or something like that. How often have you heard it said, perhaps, that they were perhaps hung in a previous life or something like that or suffered from cancer in a previous life? Of course, there's no evidence for that. But what there may be evidence for is the fact that what the person is actually experiencing are situations to do with prior cellular memory, not of your own physical life, but of someone else's life within the family group or within the ancestral memory, which of course you are still a part of. And that maybe it is one of those who have actually experienced that life reality. Other situations you have to also realize is, in fact, that to do with your sensitivity and how well you are contactable to your cellular memory. This is something, my friends, which can often be borne out by situations of premonition that you may have with other people. You've perhaps often heard it say that many people perhaps experience situations of, shall we say, knowing when the phone is going to ring and knowing who it is that is going to be on the other end of it, to do with perhaps your connection. This connection may well be to do with that person being from your soul group or someone who is from a soul group that is very similar to yours, meaning that the vibration is very similar. It could also, of course, be that the person in this respect is actually not linked in any way spiritually through your spiritual evolutionary process, but actually is linked in a way through your cellular memory. So this could be someone who is actually living now and may actually even be in another country. And that person, perhaps you may think you are connected with them on a psychic level, or perhaps a form of telepathic level. Yes, that is possible too. But it is also possible to connect with them because your cellular memory and their cellular memory have something in common, that every single human being is related in some way.
Does this explain déjà vu?
It explains some situations of déjà vu, yes. Déjà vu happens through different occasions, many of which we have already outlined in previous statements about this, about the whole situation to do with regression or past life theory. Much of it can be drawn from feelings and sensations that it is your actual life, when in fact, as I have so often said, it is often to do with the mistaken identity of proximity and the way in which human beings are actually much closer together than you actually appear to be.
It's just that with déjà vu, normally you're awake and conscious and you could be walking down the street or something.
Yes, absolutely so. That is my point, which is why we had to bring about this situation, of course, to do with conscious cellular memory, because it is a conscious thing. It is a conscious effort, not something that you have to manipulate yourself, but something which actually just suddenly comes upon you.
Okay. If you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227, Canada, 888-810-8322. International callers isn't toll-free, but we'd love to hear from you anyway. And it's 001-530-876-3222. Okay. Can you give us any other descriptions of how the cellular memory is... some people, as well, they feel that they were an animal before.
Yes. Now, the feelings of animal representation are actually drawn from your experiences in the spirit world before you had a physical life. Statement doesn't mean to say necessarily that it was actually before you tried on a physical life. And so that is actually, it can be a number of other reasons why this happens. The first one of the reason why this happens is actually because as a spirit being of purity, you had situations of friendship between yourself and the spirit beings of other species, of other animals. And in as much as, once again, the state of proximity comes into play when you are communicating and being at one with, in the state of being at one with another animal, that is, not that it is something physical or something that has connotations in a physical way in physical life, but that actually, yes, you are blending with that being and drinking in all of their understanding. And so you are sharing that memory of that relationship that you had with that animal. So perhaps you may feel at times as though you are a deer or a horse or whatever it was, you see. That is something to do, it can be something to do with the relationships that you have established in the spirit world before you had a physical life. Another thing I have to mention, in fact, is, of course, the state of momentary transition, which happens in the spirit world, which is actually to do with many beings in the spirit world, and you would have done this before having a physical life as well. That is, you would have borrowed the cellular memory of someone else while we're on the subject of cellular memory. Mm-hmm. So, as a pure spirit being, you would have borrowed someone else's cellular memory for a short while, perhaps as an experiment, perhaps to take on the feeling of what it is going to feel like for you as a spirit being to wear the garb of a human state, human physical state. And what you can actually do is ask someone else if you can borrow their a part of their cellular memory, perhaps. And, of course, this is a situation, you understand, that will happen out of a great deal of love and affection between you, something that perhaps identifies with the fact that they know that you're not going to run off with it or anything like that. You're not going to abuse that situation in any way because of the acclimation, the way in which you have brought about your vibration and that they have, so they are knowing your whole integrity, if you'd like, and you know theirs, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And so this can often be perhaps as a liturgy experience, shall we say. It is something that you try out. They, as an advocate, will allow you to borrow their experience for a short time. So you will try it on. That is, then that you will try on their consciousness experience and see for yourself, through their cellular memory, what their journey was like in the physical state.
That's really knowing somebody inside out, isn't it?
Oh, it is completely, yes, absolutely so. It doesn't mean to say that you have all of their cellular memory. I'm saying all of their mind memory and that kind of thing. But perhaps it will be allowed that there will be some passages of that memory illuminated to you, purely and simply, so that you are then able to actually fully unify yourself within that feeling of being. Perhaps it may be of a different gender that you have picked to be in,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And at times, this could even generate to a different form of animal, a different form of species. And so it may be that you are able to strike up this form of relationship with another species, a different being. And perhaps this may be, after all, a reciprocal information, so that perhaps it may be after you have had a physical life that you deal with this situation. And perhaps you exchange different aspects of your life with this other being from a different species. It may, of course, be that you had been a helper or someone like that, or even a guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, of course, you may actually swap each other's identity for a little while. As I say, it isn't something that lasts a long time, but it gives you the experience of that cellular memory, of what it actually feels like to be that kind of being with that sort of character and with all of the mind illuminations and consciousness experiences of that animal and what it would be like for their daily event.
So you could do that with a whale or something?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've done it twice with a whale.
Have you?
Yes.
Wow.
A most pleasurable experience.
Wow. Amazing.
It was amazing for me, I can tell you, because in the first instance of for them allowing me to do it. But I so wanted and needed to experience the whole set of ensemble, if you like, of experiences that they have in order to understand them fully. I have always had an affinity with them,
mm-hmm.
as a creature of being.
What sort of whale did you do that with?
It was a right whale.
Both times?
No, it was a right whale one time. And the second time, I was a sperm whale.
Right.
Yes.
So, somebody could have done that?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Before they came here for an Earth life?
Yes, yes.
Either with an animal or a species, or some other species other than a human being, and then that is another reason that they could think they could have a flashback of that.
Yes, of course, this is not, absolutely, but this is not to be confused with the situations of shamanistic behavior.
No.
As that is something, of course, completely different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, do you want to go on and carry on talking about indivisibility and the other... Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, hello. Hello. It's a pleasure. Thank you. Well, you intrigued me. What is shamanic... what were you about to describe?
Oh, shamanic memory.
Memory.
That is actually to do with the situation, my dear friend, of the actual physical experiences that people have, perhaps in altered states of consciousness, when they are joining with different species from the spirit world. Some of it they are joining with them through their actual, through these actual memories of their consciousness state whilst they were pure spirit beings in the spirit world. And other aspects of their memory are actually to do with them making contact in real time with the, sometimes with individual spirits of that species. So perhaps it may be a deer, a red deer, or some other creature, perhaps a beaver or whatever it is, walrus, whale, could be a lion, a bear. All these different creatures sometimes have an availability about them which a shamanic priest may be able to gain contact with.
Right.
And well, this actually, my friend, is to offer perhaps different situations of reality, of perspective, perhaps that particular creature had been observing something about a fellow human being or whatever it is, because not all creatures are completely passive in their soul group. Some will be very active. Bears in particular are quite active around human beings in the spirit sense.
Well, my question was more, could these shaman actually change into an animal like has been portrayed in many writings and in people's notes, where they actually change into the eagle, the owl, the bear, the wolf? And I'll let you go and maybe elaborate on that. That's really something I've always been curious about, if people can actually do that.
Yes,
thank you.
Well,
thank you.
I would have to say, thank you for your question. I would have to say, my friend, that some people most certainly feel as though they have done it. Whether you actually, as a physical being, will sit there and observe as a human being in real time changes into a crow is something, of course, which mainly, in the main, derives from fiction. It isn't something born out necessarily of a real state of fact in physical identity. But actually, what can very often happen is that the person, the shamanic priest, individual, will actually immerse themselves so far into the spirit world that they very often are twinned with, or perhaps are taken on a journey into the state of a crow's physical state, as a way of sharing this journey, because the crow needs that shamanic priest to have knowledge of him or her, needs to gain that experience perhaps for some enlightening road or journey of distinction that may happen. Now, of course, as it is, some people actually have perhaps certain native beings from the spirit world, indigenous people from whatever race it is, that these beings maybe have had a background in various forms of shamanic practice, or may actually be involved in shamanic practice at this very moment in the spirit world, and make it their business to communicate with other species. And of course, you must understand that it's very necessary in the spirit world to continue the balance and equilibrium and peace of all of these beings, all of these different states of being in the spirit world, all of these different natures of a vast array of species who exist in physical real time, all have an embodiment in the spirit world, not in exactly the same caste, because it may well be, for example, that a certain form of marsupial or whatever may, which appears to be ugly in the physical reality, is not as ugly in the spirit world. After all, ugliness is only in the eye of the beholder, and I'm sure that the female of the species of any ugly being in the physical world doesn't think the male of their species is particularly ugly, because they see each other as whatever is defining their moment of reality. So it is then, friends, that in the spirit world and in the physical reality, there will be this intercommunication, this traveling backwards and forwards from one bi-dimensional state to another, and different beings experience different things within this communication process. Shamanic practice dictates perhaps that people feel as though they almost shapeshift, in fact, from one sense of being to another. And I am well aware that many shamanic practitioners feel that this is something which happens in actuality, in physical state, in real time. Perhaps it should be that they actually illuminate a camera or something like that upon a tripod and actually leave it running whilst they are in their altered state of consciousness to prove the point. What I have to say, though, is that their experience is very real, in that they do have a whole out-of-body experience of transitional effect from their actual physical embodiment into perhaps the body of a different altered being, that of a crow, a bear, whatever it is that they happen to want to be communicating with and return with stories from that being. Perhaps stories of the journey that they have had with them, or something like that. Or these could be stories perhaps to do with some information that they have to give to someone else, a third party, and that has been the reason for the sitting in the first place. So I hope that helps in this inquiry.
Okay, well, I think
Yes, no, actually that was the perfect answer, because it makes perfect sense.
Oh, my friend.
Thank you.
I am so pleased.
Thank you.
Thank you so. If there is ever any question that you need to have answered, please do not hesitate.
You know, I was going to ask another one, but it was... This was a little different. It's a little off topic, but you were talking about cellular memory and contacting various spirits. And I was thinking of telepathy and how that might fit into that, or what the differences are.
Yes, well, quite so. It is not off topic at all, friend, because in some aspects, of course, telepathy is actually about the transfer of consciousness and the real-time situation of meeting the consciousness of other beings, perhaps through the timeline, through the state of altered consciousness, where you are actually able to move from one state of dimension to another in order to make a direct link to this other being, perhaps even on the other side of your planet. How else are you going to do it? In this respect, friend, it may well be that you actually strike up a complete communication degree, if you like, of the instant and real you actually having a communication prospect, a perhaps you are having a conversation with them or something like that. They may be in a dream state, or perhaps they are even working in a field or doing a job of work, and suddenly they are having the thoughts, receiving the thoughts that you are sending them, and then they are sending back. This can often happen because of the, not just because of the cellular memory bridge that I had already discussed previously, but also, of course, because of perhaps it is a psychic or telepathic form of communication that you are able to reach with them. As I say, this also does have a bearing upon the cellular memory process. It may be that the other person you identify with in this way has actually come from your soul group, or perhaps from a soul group very close to you. This is something which actually can happen with direct twins, birth twins, not necessarily beings who are from the same soul group, but perhaps they are twins who in physical life shared the same womb at the same moment in time, but also in the spirit world, perhaps they came from different soul groups, but which were joined together, which were perhaps relatory, had a relationship, a previous prior relationship in the spirit world, in which case, of course, you will have already established the situation of understanding and memory. This is not to say that this is a person that you have necessarily physically met already at this time during your physical life. You may never have met them, and yet you still may actually. So this is necessarily something to do with someone who happens to be a blood relative of yours, as I just described, being perhaps a twin or something like that. Can also be someone whom you have never actually met physically, but you actually have a twin in contact with telepathically. You are able to communicate with them. And sometimes this can be actually established through your dream state. It can be established through the timeline of different states of altered consciousness which you create in physical life. So it may be something which establishes itself just because you are a being and they are a being who happen to be sitting at the same time for various illuminated states of consciousness. So, and it doesn't have to be that they're both the same form of illuminated state of consciousness, you understand, or the gathering of it. So one of you could be meditating and the other one could be in prayer, perhaps praying for someone else or something like that.
Well, thank you. I do understand. I appreciate the time. We have a caller. I just put them on the line, so I'll let you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, BBS Radio. How are you doing?
Oh, hello.
Hello, John, friend. Hello.
How is everyone tonight?
Fine, absolutely fine. I was only thinking about you earlier on. We haven't heard from you for a few weeks, so I was going to email you and make sure you were okay.
I've been trying to think of some good questions.
Okay.
Gregory, we were talking about the shamans and a Native American type of spiritualists and enlightened people. But do their roots solely come from their own culture, or are there influences from China and Greece and other parts of the world?
Oh, yes, absolutely, of course. China in particular, friend, because they have actually had a great deal of their history, which has been to do with beings joined in consciousness with other forms of species. So this isn't something which is just to do with indigenous populations of North American people, for example. This is also, of course, to do with many of the shamanic practices of Aboriginal people, other indigenous peoples of perhaps the different islands on the other side of the planet to yourselves. They too had have experiences to do with other animals, altered states of consciousness where they actually connect with these other animals and perhaps know of their whole life experience. This, of course, is most important to them, particularly as their lives may depend upon it, perhaps in cases of needing them for food or something like that. Which, after all, you must understand, is where shamanic practice actually first originated. It wasn't just to do with a spiritual, religious experience, to do with connecting with the universe and with animal beings at one, and being at one with. This, of course, is something which actually was epitomized perhaps in cave dwellers' paintings and that kind of thing, where human beings tended to focus upon these animals, which they regarded not only as a food source, but also had a religious connotation as well, because it was as though God was giving them a share, or a sacrifice, if you like, of its own life energy in order to sustain those beings. And so, most certainly, it has been something which has evolved throughout the whole of your side of the world, in fact, in physical life, through Chinese indoctrinations, through Arabic situations as well, of course. Different forms of animal, from camel to hawks especially with Arabic people, really because of the whole nature of their use of hawks and the way in which they used them in order to capture certain birds. And also, it wasn't just something they did for recreational purposes, they actually used them in a very spiritual way and connected with them as well. A situation was revealed within different tribes of nomadic peoples who actually used hawks in order to perhaps connect with their relationship of the supreme oneness or creator. And so you would have very many different ties with these different nationalities and tribes, people who all had relationships with different beings within their own locality. So it wasn't really just about situations of animals for food that they were connecting with and thanking them, perhaps. It was also that they looked upon various different animals as emblems of gods that they revered in their lives. And this is, of course, quite a natural progression for their spirituality and evolutionary prospect. This was something which was generated not, as I have said before, just through the physical routine of eating them, but actually of a spiritual practice of being an at-one state with the creator of all things.
Hey, John?
That's very interesting. Maybe I can throw in a more specific question, and you'll have a quick answer, maybe it'll be a long answer. But were any of the shamans influenced by the masters from Tibet?
From Tibet, friend. Well, yes, please. Yes. The situation in Tibet, perhaps, has always been one of great spiritual beauty and definition. It is, of course, because there has been a long line of peoples who have a great spiritual depth and beauty to them. Yes, it has been depicted in the monks of Tibet, and the way in which different peoples perhaps have acquired this sheer life of beauty, not necessarily beauty in all of the physical attributes. Naturally, it has been that for some people they have actually had a very hard life, a very hard living. And they have, yes, joined with different forms of animal being in relationships of their awareness of them and how they've treated them. Of course, many beings in Tibet will not any longer eat animals for the pure reason of their sacred state, and so will actually even shy away from even setting foot upon a single creature because of that effect, because of their divine presence and understanding that all beings are related after all. because, of course, all beings have evolved through the mutation process from the central core of what is the state of being of life in physical dimensions, which happens to be the state of is now. So, in as much as Tibetan Buddhists, for example, have realized this state of affairs, which is why they will never eat any other creature or try not to harm any creature whilst building anything or even taking a walk. This means that their relationship to that creature, to every single being, is something that is uniquely defined. They see a spiritual aspect or dharma to every situation and every single meeting of every creature that they meet. So every meeting is a revelation, which of course it is, really, in the truest sense, because every meeting that you have with another creature is exactly what it says it is. It is a meeting with God. It is a meeting with some other attribute that the creative state of all creation, of all being oneness, has defined in your presence. And the very fact that you have met that creature, for some beings, particularly with Buddhist monks, is that it is something of a grand occasion. This actually echoes back to much of their previous experience in the physical side of life and in the spirit world, which was gained by their unity of beings in the spirit world, of all species in the spirit world. So we can see how the relationship is established for those beings, and also, I suppose, to a certain extent, to various tribes who live 120 or 150 years who live in that region, that they too are having a shared blissful happiness within their life, as hard as it is, within the terrain in which they live it, purely and simply because of their healthy respect for all other beings that they share their tolerant life with. And recognizing this as all aspects of the whole, that everything that is seen is a part of the creation, the beautiful creation of all that is.
Okay, well, I think we've
thank
almost
you very
come.
Much.
Okay, thanks ever so much, John.
Thank you, friend. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, we've just about come to time, actually, Gregory, but
yes.
That's been fantastic. And actually, we've got about 1 minute. It all really stemmed from the reincarnation theory, had a lot to do with the shamanic views, didn't it?
Well, yes, to a point. Except I would have to say that in the truest traditional native view, that is, of North American peoples, there was never any thought or form of reincarnation. That is not something that was a traditionalist view. If you consult with beings from any pure blood tribe in native stock who are there, who are alive today, they will not relate particularly to the reincarnationalist view, because they continually understand that their ancestral heritage and all of those beings who are part of their ancestors are still alive in the spirit world. Thank you very much. And of course they are.
Well, I was going to say, since there's no show after you, you don't really have to wrap it up unless you want to, whenever you wish to.
Oh, okay.
So I just wanted you to know that. You bet.
Oh, well, very well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
So you see what I'm saying?
Yes, it's something that's been misconstrued, and for people that don't really, haven't really delved into either reincarnation or shamanism,
yes,
it's something that is just perceived as fact that
yes,
that is the case.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I understand that many present-day shamanics even will insist that it is part of their traditional native heritage, when in fact it is part of the native heritage which has been westernized or easternized in this respect in order to fit certain models and certain views and understandings pertaining from Eastern value and Eastern core religious virtue. And that really is the occasion of it. It is not something which is held within traditionalist native belief. And you can ask probably any professor of native study, and they will tell you that that is a fact. That is, of course, because their evolutionary state and their process of understanding, their core value of understanding, had always come from the principal benefactors of the sun and various planets of various deities of different animals which shared their locality with, of buffalo, of bear, of various forms of deer and buck, of different other forms of creatures who either swam or ate their way through their part of the environment that they shared their habitat with. Different birds, owls, and birds of prey, eagles, were part of the Earth Mother's symbolism of how they were able to beautify their world and understand that God Creator has a voice in all things and is joining them with all things. And what a beautifying experience that is for them, for those people to have that shared reality. So that really is the truest state, as I feel, that there can be of the comparison of what you have in the sense of someone's value and what they place upon having a physical life with other beings around them and being a part of that life. Yes, they will alter their states of consciousness into a shamanic way. They may do this in such a way as to create a bountiful liaison between them. Perhaps they pray regularly, every day even, to certain bird identities, certain Aryan flocks who they see as representing various views of the Creator. Perhaps crows are an auspicious event to certain people, and that can often happen because of their experiences in the spirit world and the way in which they have gained these experiences through their shamanic travels or through their travels of their perceptions and their increased understanding and awareness through meditation, through the beautifying experiences that they have with those relationships. These are very honorary moments, not to be dismissed as a trifling experience, not to be dismissed as saying that the person was just imagining it. They are very real, spiritual, uplifting experiences that human beings face.
And next week we're going to have a part four of our past life regression theory.
Yes, Faith.
And probably the week after that, we're going to be bringing Silver Fox to speak to people.
Yes.
And Silver Fox,
yes,
is a wonderful one. Would you like to just say a little about Silver Fox, since we've got some time?
Yes, certainly so, yes. My dear friend Silver Fox, he is of a crow people, and he actually originated in physical life, I understand, in a place called Three Forks in Montana. He actually is someone who creates a very emotive sense of feeling of being in a state of at-oneness at all times that he is speaking. It is quite strange, really, that even in the spirit world, on our side of life, he comes here with his band of followers. There isn't never just himself on his own. He comes with other individuals, members of his family, who all appear together in this beautiful array of energy and vitality. And he has a great many things to recall about his physical life and also about his eternal spirit life. Many of the situations of the communication that he has even now with other members of his ancestral heritage, stretching back for thousands of years, they are all a part of this understanding of the relationship between the spirit and physical embodiments and the different forms of other beings who exist among us. Yes, friend.
Hello, Gregory?
Yes, oh, hi.
Hello, friend.
Hi, yeah, this is John again. We're talking about Chief Silver Fox?
Silver Fox.
Yes. Can you please tell me, though, about Chief Crazy Horse and if there's any similarity between him and Dr. Martin Luther King?
No similarity whatsoever between himself and Dr. Martin Luther King. Crazy Horse, in fact, was only a chief for a very short space of time, my friend. He, I understand, was only made a chief because he was a person who understood about situations to do with parities on a physical level. So he was a being who could see situations and conditions and be able to understand where, through common behavior, a person was going to be next. Which is why that he was assigned by Sitting Bull, in fact, to take part in the battles that he did. And he only did that, and then afterward, he was no longer a chief.
Okay.
And how about Dr. Martin Luther King?
Well, Dr. Martin Luther King, my friend, has... He is a being who had been a champion of his people, and still is. Still is revered and is remembered today as he was when he was alive, perhaps even more so now, because he is a being who tried to stand up for his race, perhaps doing so in a way that perhaps at times was not altogether charitable. I will not tread on his memory, however. These are matters for himself and for his own ancestors. That would be myself making a judgment upon him. But in the main, the reason of his being, the reason exactly the same for other people's beings. Crazy Horse, for example, only came into being, was only noted for certain facets of his warrior-like abilities because he was there at that moment. Someone needed to do it, and he fitted that situation. Martin Luther King was dragged up into that situation and was a voice who could actually speak for it. And he grew up with that voice through the many congregations that he preached to, through the many situations of cycles of violence which he actually observed himself. And actually said, enough is enough, exactly the same as Crazy Horse said, enough is enough, I have to lead my people. They are both similar in that way, but are not related. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you very
thanks,
much.
John. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, well, okay, so basically, everybody, Silver Fox is going to be speaking through Mick, probably in a couple of weeks' time. We'll have a show, and he'll be able to talk to us about his thoughts and feelings about his people and whatever it is he wants to talk about, really. And then also you're more than welcome. We'll be inviting our listeners to call in and speak to him as well. He actually has been speaking. He came right many years ago, didn't he?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right,
so Silver Fox, in fact, came a long time before I was able to make that transition.
Mm.
It was actually due to the fact that it was Silver Fox who generated the correct vibration for our friend here so that he was then able to accept a great many other people and other vibrations. Such is the generosity and general nature of Silver Fox.
And we do have a book. He's written a book, Journeys of the Inner Songbird, that is available on our website as well. And he's just a delightful person. I've actually spoken to his wife as well many years ago.
Yes,
his wife
yes.
came through Mick, spoke through Mick as well.
Yes.
And but that would be lovely.
Yes.
We'll tell you a little bit more about that next week, and it'll be probably the week after that.
Yes. Quite so, Fred.
Okay, and I spoke to Silver Fox the other day, and he's really excited about it.
So I understand, yes, quite so.
Okay, that'd be lovely.
Very well, then. With love and light, be upon all of your journeys. And please do remember, dear friends, not all is as it seems upon the surface of life. There are many leaves of pages you have yet to understand, and many leaves still yet as unread upon the page of life. We leave you in love as always, dear friends. God bless.
Well, that's just been a special evening tonight, and we had some extra time, thanks to Dawn at BBS. That's wonderful, and, well, for our 100th edition, it's our little special treat, wasn't it? So if you'd like to join us next week, we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, and you can find out more information about us, our books, CDs, and book an Akashic reading if you like. There's all sorts of things on there that you can learn about us. And, well, basically, thank you very much for listening to us, and we hope that the next 100 will be as enjoyable as it has been so far. My name is Sylvie Avery, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.